Good afternoon and welcome to A Piece of the Action on Radio Adelaide on this fine afternoon. Well, warm afternoon anyway. And it's Stephen Darley here with Sue Gilby.
Hello there.
And we'd like to, before we go on, acknowledge that this is Kaurna land and that Kaurna sovereignty has never been surrendered, and we respect the spiritual beliefs of the Kaurna people and the Kaurna elders. And we're going to have two issues today. We're going to talk about the expanded police powers and the demonstration against it on Friday. And Sue, would you like to introduce what you're going to be talking about?
Yes, I've got some people who are attending a community choir that has been organised through the Hutt Street Community Centre, and some of the work and some of the results of people getting together have just been amazing. So it's lots of listening.
Yeah,
today.
Yes, so a lot of recording today, so you won't hear very much of us. Some of you are saying, oh, what a relief.
So the first song is one that's written by Kavisha Mazzella called Eagles Flying, and it's a very beautiful song, and nobody knew this song before, and I think it's sung quite beautifully.
Yeah.
Should we go straight into it?
Well, we can't because it's not in the right order.
We'll
have this after the expanded police demo, okay? Because that's the way it is. You can tell me. We're going to move on to some recordings of the expanded police demo, some Vox Pop and some speeches there. Now, this was on the road on North Terrace and on beside Harney Street, so you can hear a fair bit of traffic in the background. But hopefully the voices are extinguishable. So here we go.
I'm talking to people attending the St. Paul Expanded Police Powers demonstration outside Parliament House. Why are you here?
Well, we're here because this is an unnecessary extension of police powers in this state. They already have laws to deal with all of the things that they say these laws are designed to deal with. If someone's walking down the street drunk, they have laws that can deal with that person. This just removes any oversight or accountability that police might have. They can basically take a look at someone, not like the look of them, and then harass them, arrest them, ban them from the area. Which is pretty authoritarian, considering, you know, what the history of SAPOL with picking on vulnerable people in this state.
And you think about where it's coming from as well. This is coming from the right wing faction of the Labor Party, for that matter, as well. This is coming from people like John Rowe, who've never really, who have much more of a moralistic and paternalistic approach to problems. It doesn't really consider these things. They're just opposed to the idea of maybe people having fun in a way they don't appreciate, and I think in a lot of ways they're making an issue out of something that isn't really a huge issue for most people.
Do you think it's aimed at anything further than that?
It's hard to say. That's an important question to ask, I think, is why do they want these powers? What is the problem that the police are having at the moment? You know, they haven't really made that clear, and that question was asked in Parliament in the submissions that were tabled when they were debating the bill, and weren't satisfactorily answered. Another point I'll make is that we're also here this afternoon is the weekly vigil for the 600 men that have been abandoned on Manus Island, and whilst it might look like those two issues are unconnected, they actually are connected, because what the Australian government and now the South Australian state government are doing is criminalising people, not because of their actions, not because of things that they've done, but because of who they are, where they're from, how much money they have, and that's exactly what these laws are for. They are to criminalise people that haven't committed any offence, and that's why we're here to stop it.
I was talking to someone earlier and they said, do you think this links in with the council's issue about dry zones aimed at Aboriginal people? Do you think that's part of it as well?
Absolutely. I mean, you take a look at it. I mean, you have the Australian Law Society, wasn't it, or something like that, coming out and saying this is going to disproportionately affect young people and Aboriginal people. you know, it's not going to be just some young lads out on the town being a bit disorderly that's going to catch the attention. It's going to be someone with darker skin than the rest of us, and just because they are who they are in that particular place and time, they're much more likely to be the person that's targeted. You know, and I think anyone who's seen the way police behave around Aboriginal people will really, you know, see, you know, it's hard, you know, it's hard to believe, but it does exist. You know, just once you look past that privilege, you see it exists everywhere in our society, that they will always go for those Aboriginal people who are being loud before they go for those white people who are being a bit loud.
Well, I suppose the other thing is, if you're going to be talking to people or pushing people around on the basis of suspicion, then having a black skin is, you know, one of those things that can be seen suspicious. But
absolutely,
from a police point of view.
There's also a historical context to this too, because there used to be things called the boundary laws, where they draw a boundary around an area, and at certain times, say 6 p.m. like tonight, where they've drawn a boundary around the area, Aboriginal people were not allowed to cross. And so there's parallels there historically as well. Yeah, which is, it's bloody concerning.
Well, it's interesting that they're kind of confirming a bit about what's going on, because there's about half a dozen police here, and I'm pretty sure they're not here for the amnesty.
The vigil people can get pretty rowdy sometimes, so
yeah.
you never know.
Yeah, well, they've also been talking to the vigil people and saying, well, we're not here for you.
No, they're here for us.
I mean, by process of elimination, you know. Unless they're here for the politicians, that would be a nice change, but yeah.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Probably not.
And the police are going to try and find an organiser for this, and they're going to come up short in looking for an organiser for this, because this is a spontaneous and democratic group that's got together. We don't have any leaders. We don't have any organisers.
We don't have any elected position. We don't have any position of authority over one another. This is a collect. You know, this is very collectivised space.
Just the way the police run themselves, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly like
Surely.
That, but the opposite.
Yeah,
yeah. No worries, thanks, folks.
No worries, thank you,
comrade.
I'm with Ellie from the Wobblies, the IWW, talking about the St. Paul Powers demo. So why are you here, Ellie?
I'm here because I think that the new powers that they're giving to police are completely unfair. I've worked in the city for a long time, and I've seen police pick on marginalised people, especially young, poor people, Aboriginal people in particular, and I just don't think that giving these extra powers to police is helpful in any way at all.
What capacity have you worked in the city?
I've just worked in hospitality, so
okay.
Since I was a little teenager. So
you've observed these sorts of things?
Yeah, overnight at work as well, so overnight on the weekends I've seen how they behave, I've seen, you know, what happens on Hindley Street, and I just do not believe at all that these powers will help. I think they will just hinder people further.
And what sort of thing do you think is the worst aspect of the new powers that are being granted?
I think one of the worst parts is that they can take children out of the city. Like, I see a lot of young people, you know, I was 16 at the time, there was lots of other people who were 14, 15 hanging around town who, you know, maybe they shouldn't be in the city at that time, but, you know, they probably don't have anywhere else to go, and I think they're going to be the people who are targeted. They don't often do anything wrong. Sometimes they're loud, sometimes they're rowdy, but what else do you expect from young people, you know?
And do you think this is just the first step towards more expanded power?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's one of my major concerns, besides from the effect of the young people, is that they will continue to make these laws stronger and stronger. They'll push out the limits that these powers can apply to. Maybe eventually everywhere will have these same laws. One of the scariest parts of the continuing growing of powers, I think, is the stop and search, which we've seen in America, that stop and search is highly, highly connected to racial profiling, and it doesn't do any good for anyone, as police powers don't.
So you think this will be particularly targeted apart from young people and Aboriginal people?
Definitely. Like, many of the biggest criminals these days are not these young, poor people. I mean, they haven't been ever, but the biggest criminals aren't the ones who are going to be targeted by these laws. It's going to be people who have basically done no wrong, and they're going to be either fined, thrown in jail, put into custody, and we know what happens, especially to Aboriginal people in custody, you know. We don't need any more deaths.
Yeah.
That would be the worst possible outcome.
I mean, it's not as if there isn't a history of police abuse around Australia. Queensland's one example, but the shooting of people who are mentally ill is another example.
Exactly. Yeah, it's going to hurt the most already hurt in society people the most. And I think that, the worst part is that it's going to hurt the people who are already hurt the most. And we just cannot let that happen. We've seen time and time again that these kind of measures never work. They never work in the people's favour. They never work in anyone's favour other than police. So, yeah.
What's the purpose of this? And what's the end goal? All right. So, the purpose is to end the declared public precincts. Okay? So that's pretty much Curry Street, Tinley Street, North Terrace, King William, West Terrace. It's a giant spot. This whole thing is now the declared public precinct. And how did it become that? It became that because the Attorney General, John Rouse, said it so. He said it is.
Has been for 1 minute now.
1 minute. It has now officially become a little bit closer to a police state. 1 minute. Can you feel it?
Yes.
Yep. All right. But John Rao didn't just get these magical powers out of nowhere. There was some legislation that went through Parliament last year and has finally come full tilt. It's now not a bill, it's an act, okay? So now the police have the power as of probably 2 minutes ago. And all they need is John Rao, the Attorney General, or the Police Commissioner to say that any place is now a declared precinct. So he's just set this precinct for 1 year, unless he calls it off. Because he can just call it off if he thinks it's not working. So if we put the pressure on, we can make him call it off. It's not like this precinct is law. Okay? It's not written in the legislation. It's a decision by the Attorney General. Okay? So that is our purpose. And our end goal is to get rid of it, right? But how do we do that? So what we're doing today is we're raising awareness. We've got flyers. So if you don't have a placard, so the placard lets know people passing by know, right? The flyers are if they want a little bit more information, you can give it to them. It's also a good in to have a discussion. We're not here to like look at the police and be menacing and try and scare them. They're definitely the scariest. So we're just here to raise awareness amongst the public. But even if we're not trying to be menacing to the police, we are letting them know we are here, okay? Because that's sending a signal to the police commissioner who made the assessment that Hindley Street is too dangerous. And that is what the Attorney General is using to make this a declared precinct, okay? So flyers, placards, our presence there, that's all great, that's all raising awareness, but this is a reactionary action, okay? It sounds not pleasant when I say it like that, and then you can say, why are we here? We're just reactionaries. But sometimes you have to react. We just found out about this on Monday. So the goal is that we communicate, and this forms a campaign, not just a single reaction, not just a single action, okay? So, part of being able to form a campaign that has to do with addressing police issues, which are scary, because people get harassed and beat up and nasty things, is developing confidence among ourselves, okay? That we can stand in front of a police station. Once upon a time, it was scary to go down on the mall with a protest. I remember when that started to be more of a norm. And then we did it all the time. And now the same thing. I don't see why we can't set a new precedent in this precinct that we can deal with police matters, okay? So we are going to go in front of the police station for a little bit, half an hour, an hour.
So the main thing that we don't want to do is fight the cops, because if we fight the cops, not only will we get hurt and probably arrested, but also it's going to hurt our campaign that we're trying to build. So some things that the cops are going to be looking at is, are we blocking the footpath? That's going to get them offside. if we are threatening, trying to go inside the police station or something like that, something we probably want to avoid. The other thing is, there is no organiser for this protest, and if the cops ask, that's what you tell them. There isn't any organiser, because they're going to want to, straight away, they get confused. Like, what do you mean no leaders? You've got to have hierarchy. So they don't get that. But this is horizontal. We've organised this ourselves. So if they do try and ask, yeah, I think you have to give them your name and your address if they ask. That's it. That's the only thing that you have to say to the police if they talk to you. I think they're going to hide. They're not going to know how to deal with this, but it's better safe than sorry. There's a clause in the Act that says that the powers cannot be used against any person who is protesting, showing dissent, or what was the other?
Okay. We're going to move on shortly, but I thought it'd be worthwhile briefly mentioning what the new expanded powers that the police have in that precinct that was declared. They can conduct a metal detector search of a person, ban a person between specified hours, direct a person to move on, similar to the current powers in the Act, provide an offence of, quote, behave in a disorderly or offensive manner in a declared precinct with a penalty of $1,250 or an expiation notice of $250. Remove a child under the age of 18 years if the child is in the opinion of a police officer in the declared public precinct in circumstances that place the child at risk. Now, I'm particularly, you may think this is just, you know, a minor increase. I come from Northern Ireland. I haven't got time to tell you the stories now, but I know what expanded and militarized police powers can do. And if you look at the United States, you can see the same thing. And it's in a boiling frog syndrome. You get there overnight, not overnight, but by processes that you don't see at the time. They just get worse and worse. So we've got to stop this, nip this in the bud pretty early. Anyway, we're going to move on from that, although there are many cross issues between these two issues, because as they pointed out, the police powers will disproportionately affect homeless people, poor people, as well as young people and Aboriginal people.